So, Gary, what are we doing this week?
Well, you'll notice that we're careening at 80 miles per hour in my car.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it's okay. Like, you've got your seatbelt on.
And, now I do. Jeez.
And the check your man cave light is flashing.
Okay, cool.
On the mirror. And I'm testing out this new car I got. Now, you may or may not know this about me. This is an absolutely true thing. I'm a very weak driver. I've never driven outside of my hometown.
Okay.
That's 100% true. And I've gotten into one accident the one time I tried. So I'm not a driver. But right. I wanted to test out these new airbags that I got.
Oh, no, Gary. These things suck. They're going to break your fucking rib cage.
Huh? No. It said that they wouldn't. I read the manual and said that they're good.
I'm sure the nice man told you this. It's just physics.
But he's not going to lie to me.
If he was selling you something, he was. Everybody who sells you something is lying to you.
But it's a car. Did you know, Cole, and this is a true thing too, in the 80s, Paul Simon, national hero, Elizabeth just introduced me a song that Paul Simon has on his album Hearts and Bones called Cars Are Cars. And the song goes, cars are cars all over the world, similarly made, similarly sold. It's like his lowest moment. I was just saying that to distract you because we're heading towards the barrier here.
Oh shit! No,
we'll
no,
see what
Gary,
happens. No,
Gary,
it's okay. Airbags.
No, oh, Gary, you know this is a trigger for me. Like I'm not making fun of trigger warnings. So I'm like,
Street crash in place. Oh, look at the front of your airbag. No, wake up!
Sorry. Let me get this powder all out of my eyes because it's all over fucking everything.
One of the things is he replaced that with limeade.
Oh.
So the powder, if you taste it, like it'll turn to lemonade in your spit.
My mustache is just going to be delicious now. Wow.
Yeah. Flavor saver. Yeah, check out what's written on the airbag.
Sorry, there. I've got this limeade in my eyes and it's burning me like fucking hell.
All right. It's turning your tears into lemonade. allow me to sup.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I think you'd read this is the incredible crash dummy.
Yeah, for the SNES.
Fuck!
Fuck. Similarly made, similarly sold.
So
cars are cars all over the world.
So do you think that he was like trying to cash in? Like that there was he was trying to make a like an anthem for the local used car dealership?
No. Like, the rest of the song goes on to how people are people all over the world too. Like it's some kind of weird just Paul
Are the people
thing.
All over the world holding hands?
Probably.
Okay.
This was right before Graceland, so it was before he got into his like real world music kick.
Right.
But that song has the fartiest sax I've ever heard. Like it's like saxophone provided by the Sega Genesis. Like it's like super, super farty.
I love how that is your adjective for any kind of saxophone.
The saxophones sound farty, man. Like it's just like a fart instrument. It sounds like
there are too many farts.
Too many farts.
Yeah.
Similarly made and similarly sold. Farts are farts all over the world.
I'm sure there's somebody selling, like, there's some pervert selling bottled farts.
That's probably true. Or at the very least, you could probably get one from, like a shitty catalog as, like, a joke thing.
Or a Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
The condensation on that. If I'd care for that.
All smells are particulate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an amazing thing when you smell a fart and you're like, oh, the reason why I smell this is like you're actually
huffing
fart
shit.
Matter. Yeah. Fart matter is going into your body.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Gary, something I'm terrified of. just as we're talking about car crashes, I was in a rough car crash a couple of years ago. Thankfully, I was fine. But I've had some hangups about driving ever since. Is the notion that if you drive and you have to pee... Okay. If you get into a crash, it's very likely that unless your bladder is empty, your bladder will burst.
Hmm.
Yes.
I don't care for that.
No, I don't care for that one bit. So You can bet that in addition to my digestive complications from being nervous about driving, I also always make sure that my bladder is 100% evacuated before I drive any distance because I don't want to have like some kind of weird dialysis for the rest of my life.
Is that what happens or are they able to fix it? Like, can you get like a bionic
blood?
They're
able to fix it, but it's never going to be, it's never going to be entirely right.
Yeah, it's never going to work right.
Yeah, so yeah, it's going to be diminished. Like bladder, that new bladder smell. Yeah, it's like bladder cancer. It's never good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to change your daily. So everybody borrow that nightmare from me.
Yeah. Well, it makes me feel bad for people who I know who have to pee all the time. Like,
right.
I, you know, it could have to do with my chronic underconsumption of water, but I don't pee all that often.
Right.
I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I just don't pee all that often.
Is peeing golf score rules?
Yep. I get in every day. I get in a few under par when it comes to peeing is what I'm saying.
Oh man. I don't know. So I just wanted to share that right there. Gary,
yeah,
who
that's
are
terrifying.
You?
Yeah. Gary Butterfield.
Yeah. My name's Cole Ross.
Yep. And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah. Games are games.
Games
all over the world. Similarly made, similarly sold.
That's so crazy because like I respect Paul Simon so much.
He's a national treasure.
Yeah.
Like he is, you know, Elizabeth is a huge fan. We were talking about it last night because she put on that song. She's like, you got to hear this. I think I found the worst Paul Simon song.
Yeah.
And, we both agreed, like, I think he is a, you know, maybe America's strongest songwriter. Like, he's so good. Like, and I think he is stronger than, say, like, your Bob Dylan.
Right.
You know, he's so good. But then he does that Cars Are Cars song. Mm-hmm. And it's not like Bob Dylan didn't have an entire decade where he just, you know, made shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, find yourself a copy of Bob Dylan Live at Budokan to listen to, like, what happened. Bob Dylan is fronting, like, a legion of flautists and doing his classic hits. It sounds awful.
Right.
But
yeah, and he also had that period where he went Christian for, like, 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Bob Dylan has a lot of dark marks on his
history. But Paul Simon gave us the Boxer. So
yeah, totally. He gave us the Boxer and he gave us I'm Rock. And then he went on to give us Graceland, which is like such a perfect album.
Right.
That, you know, and The Obvious Child.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great song.
Yeah.
He's so great.
Like,
and then he does
by
like
proximity,
Cars.
By proximity, he made Art Garfunkel tolerable.
Yeah. Like he's the reason why anyone knows who Art Garfunkel fucking is.
Yep.
You know, Garfunkel owes everything to that man.
Yeah.
And then he writes a song called Cars. Are cars.
Cars. Definitionally.
Can't argue with that, Paul.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Johnny Tautology.
Yeah. Cars are, you know what? Cars are cars.
If you think about it.
My friend Ben, who you play D&D with,
yeah.
Ben Krickenberger.
Delightful, Ben.
His girlfriend, Courtney, I love them as a couple, and she makes fun of him a lot. We all kind of make fun of Ben. I feel a little bit bad, but like, it's just kind of the dynamic he's always had with the world because and this will make sense in a second, because he sometimes just says dumb shit and people make fun of him. And he's very famous in his hometown for one point, like after thoughtfully thinking for a little while, saying, dogs are dogs. And and everybody makes fun of him for that. And he, if you talk to him, he'll explain what he's actually thinking. Like, he's not dumb.
Right.
Like, he's a super smart dude. He just, like, every once in a while will say something before it's completed.
Right.
And it comes off as hilarious and and underbaked.
Right.
Yeah.
Which.
So you can go up to Ben and be like, dogs are dogs. Like, that is that's a Ben inside joke.
Well, that's a syndrome that I, like, identify with at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super understandable.
Yeah. Huh. Dogs are dogs.
Dogs are dogs.
Can you provide any context for that? Or
he was trying to make a point, like I think what he was trying to say was like a dog is going to act like a dog.
Okay.
You know, like he's trying, you know, like he's trying to do the scorpion turtle.
Right. Right.
You know, parable in short form. But he just out of nowhere said dogs are dogs.
Yeah. The only reason boys will be boys makes sense is because there's the will be as opposed to are. Like are is that verb just is identity. So
right.
Like inherently it sounds stupid.
Yeah. Boys are boys.
Right.
Boys are boys are boys.
Who are you? Tina from Bob's Fucking Burgers?
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to Elizabeth always sings roars on roars on roars.
Okay.
Which I think is a Kanye West saying racks on racks on racks.
Is that jokes and jokes and jokes? Is that?
No. That's a Chappelle thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're really doing a whole tour of urban culture.
I think we
with
are.
This section. Let's backpedal.
Yeah.
Let's get back to something firmly in the land of 30-something white people with the crash test dummies.
we are wandering outside of our domain our of
areas
knowledge.
Of expertise.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, so the incredible crash test dummies, this was recommended / foisted upon us by Mike Steele, which if that's your real name, good on you, Mike.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's a new name for us, I believe. If you've recommended something before, I apologize for not recognizing that. And he asks, why does holding down make you power slide?
I don't know, but sometimes if you're staying totally still, it just makes you crumble into bits.
Yep.
that's your duck. Uh-huh. And that's the cool part. Like, if there's something cool about this game, like the amount of your body that is left being the indicator of your health, like, I think that's kind of cool. Like, every time you get hit, you lose a limb, and it's kind of like slapsticky and comical.
Yeah.
And your limbs aren't necessarily functional, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're not being disadvantaged by it.
Yeah. You just hop along like a push me pull you a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not the problem with this game.
No.
The problem. The problem is you can't see anything before it hits you.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you're too big and you're too close up.
Yeah. Like, they wanted to say, oh, this is a crash test dummies game, so we're going to zoom in so the sprites are super big.
Yeah. And the only enemies that they have are fast moving cars and motorcycles and stuff that come from off screen and bouncing tires that are very difficult to avoid.
Right. And your only real offensive vocabulary is to magically generate a spinning wrench from your pelvis.
Yeah, from your chest. Because you could think of it as an abstraction for your arm, but what happens when you're just a torso?
Ooh.
It still just pops out.
Yep. Where's it come from? Where does it go?
Where do you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? I don't know.
Think about it.
Yeah, it's real. And you're just like the beginning of it with the story. Like, the one thing, like, well, I'll say is good about this game, like, other than that, the power up system, I really like that you're trying to retrieve something called the Torso 9000.
Oh, is that like, what the T stands for?
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading about the backstory of these guys and kind of their quest, and you're getting something called the Torso 9000.
Yep.
Which is what gives the villain his powers.
It's like, much better than Power Man 9000.
Torso 9000 just sounds like something I want to watch.
Yeah.
On its own. Like, that sounds like the raddest fucking VHS case you can pick up. Like, Torso 9000. Yes, yeah. Please. Yeah.
Make it Torso 9001. Cause I want just a little bit more.
Yeah, give me a little bit more, a little bit more of that torso. I'm a torso. That's one of my favorite. That's a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
No, that's where they found the torso heap.
So that's crazy because one of my favorites is the purple drapes.
Yeah, that's very good too.
Yeah. I love anything that refers to Flanders's girlish scream.
Yeah, he just has a girl. Yeah, and even though it came out in late Simpsons, the reveal that he has a gigantic dick, like, didn't actually bother me that much.
Like, I wasn't aware of that.
Weirdo Christian. You say what?
I wasn't aware of that he has a gigantic dick.
Yeah, in the first one where he's dating, Homer, like, takes video footage of him in the shower, and there's just a huge censored bar, like, just swaying between his knees.
Good for him. Like, oh. Good for him.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge anybody their gigantic dick.
Like, no, apparently it's a nightmare. Like, everyone I've ever talked to or anything I've ever read makes it sound like a nightmare.
Huh.
Like, and, you know, like, I'm glad I don't have a giant dick.
Yeah. I don't want to reveal what size my dick is.
No, that's where I was going. So it could be edited off.
I'm like, you know, there are certain aspects of mystery. We here at duckfeed.tv reveal a lot about ourselves. I'm not going to tell you what size my dick is.
I'm going to do you one better. I'm not going to reveal what shape my dick is. Who knows? Is it longer than it is wide? Only no ways to find out.
Like the official network licensed, like, Play-Doh Fun Factory?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it star-shaped? Is it just spaghetti?
Is it just a bunch of spaghetti? Yep.
Yeah.
Nightmares. No, no, no.
Like, gross me out. The idea of just having, like, on your front, just having, like, a Play-Doh Spaghetti Factory of, like, a bunch of noodly thin dicks that all just did everything in unison. Like,
well, yeah, they did everything in unison or had minds of their own.
Like a Medusa?
Yep.
Or if they just did whatever your head did, like, weighed on U.S. Acres. So whenever you looked around, they looked around?
Yep.
Ugh.
Oh, nope. Yeah. Sorry.
Because there's that one guy who got all that fame on Reddit for having two dicks, but this guy, who we've imagined would really blow him out of the water as far as number of dicks goes.
Yeah, no, he would be a whole BuzzFeed article
that
he wouldn't get like paid for.
Like the top 12 dicks on this guy.
Yeah. like what would be the nomenclature there? Would that be like a like Greek myth?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so this is Perseus, and this is Perseus, and this is Mercius.
Yeah, and this little crooked guy here is Hephaestus.
Yep.
And
you know, he's ugly, but he's got heart.
Yeah. And this is the one that with the erectile dysfunction. This is Mercury. We can't
He's a little nuts, you know.
Or Hermes is what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, the same thing. You can go back and forth. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. That's an image I can't get out of my head right now.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. So this is weird because I remember the crash test dummies, you know, as toys, as a cartoon, as a PSA, and that's where they came from, was like public service announcement campaign about like how dangerous car crashes were. And are and continue to be. It is how you're most likely to die of unnatural means. Otherwise, it's heart disease. But
this is the same kind of mindset that brought us the Geico Caveman TV show.
Right.
Like every once in a while, an advertisement will like, you know, transcend and become a thing. And this is a huge example of it. Like this was bigger than the Noid. Like there weren't Noid action figures. Like, yes, there was a video game, but like you couldn't buy a Noid. I mean, you could. There are a couple of Noid toys, but you couldn't buy like huge playsets and shit. Yeah.
Which, like, I'm comfortable with that. Like, this is advertising not dying in car crashes.
Yeah, as far as things that are get commercialized for kids, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
and well, they were cool toys.
Like, they were great toys. I had a bunch of them. Like, they were really, really fun, and to the point where they glorified dying in car crashes.
Yeah, exactly. Because you just got to make them blow up.
Yep. And that was like that. That was what those toys did. That, and they were kind of like more realistically proportioned than the small GI Joes. So they were really functional in like Kinect dragsters and stuff, which is what I totally did. But for anybody who doesn't know, anybody who's younger, these were like little humanoid action figures that when you pressed a button, they had spring-loaded head, arms, and legs that would just fly apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really fun and an awesome idea for a toy.
Yeah. Like, would have been cool even if there wasn't a PSA attached to it.
Right.
Like, just like these toys. And the way they did it, like, they stayed together pretty well when you didn't press the button, which would be the hard thing.
Right.
I would think. Like, when I hear that just on the page, like, I think, oh, that arm's never going to stay on. But they stayed on pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, and there's this whole world that was based around automobile safety testing. Mm-hmm. Like, all this iconography, like, little crash test cars, little, like, their base. You know, it's very strange,
yeah,
but pretty cool.
But it's weird in that this is a multimedia marketing campaign that probably had like a net positive for society.
Yeah.
Like as weird as that is to say, like it's probably true.
It's like Dare. It'd be like if they made characters for Dare. Like we could be talking about that. But instead we just had Wally Bear and the No Gang, which like, you know, didn't work. But if like there was like the Dare rabbit or whatever.
But that's even weirder really because huge. like Dare, there's an implied villain.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and
oh,
here,
the,
here
person,
the villain is just carelessness.
Yeah. Here the villain is the inevitability of you dying in a horrible, twisted, mangled wreck.
Yeah. Having your bladder burst.
Right.
Yeah.
You never pee right again.
Yeah. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
I thought when we first started this, I was sure that we had done it before, but actually it was that on the YouTube, and I used to do bad games on the YouTube, I did the NES version. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, we've definitely done this before, but we have not.
Huh. No. So yeah, this is the SNES version.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently there was a film about these guys too.
Yeah, there's a cartoon. There's a TV show as well.
Yes, I remember watching the TV show.
Yeah, very strange. I wonder how much, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on eBay and buy one of these action figures if they're cheap. Because I just want to play with one in my hand. Like, and it would be impossible to find it like a Goodwill or something like that because the pieces will fall off. But I want to fuck around with one of these and see if they're as cool as I remember.
Yeah, I might still have mine. I'm going home this weekend, so I'm going to try and see if I still have them.
Grab it up, man.
Yeah, if they didn't, you know, just get lost at garage sale entropy. Yeah.
They're also inspired the band, the Crash Test Dummies.
I don't know them. I'm aware of them as like a Yellow Card-esque, like late 90s, early 2000s indie emo kind of thing. But
Mm-mm.
No,
No, Crash Test Dummies are from like their late 80s, early 90s. And they're the guys who do. It's just that song, which is the ooms.
I don't know this.
Wow. It was a big hit. And then Weird Al parodied it. Brad Roberts is the guy who is like, seems like a real piece of shit. There's a video that I'll link you to. That is someone doing those, where they play bad guitar or sing over like a video and make it seem like the person's actually doing it. That's very funny.
Okay.
That's the guy and him playing their big hit, because it starts off with him just being like, the record company wouldn't let me have a title with no words. And then, when the song went international, and they, you know, they couldn't speak English in France, but they knew,
Wow.
And he's just like a total dick. And then in the video, they go on to make fun of him.
You're not lying. The actual title of that song is,
I'm really amazed that you don't know it. Like, I thought everyone knew it.
I think that I know it because it's like listed in karaoke. Which I'm a person who will go to a karaoke place and just pick up the book and just go through and see if they have something unknown that I don't know. And a title that is sticks out.
Yeah.
So yeah, like that's where I know that from. I lumped it in with that, you know, late 90s, early 2000s emo indie kind of thing, because Crash Test Dummies sounds like a like nostalgia throwback kind of thing.
Yeah, no, this is as a time. They were like that weird alternative semi-Christian band. Huh. Like their songs had a lot of God theming without being explicitly.
They were down with the Christian. G's. They were the Mumford and Sons of their time.
They had changed Jesus to be. They were not. Ashamed of their faith in Jesus Christ and changed their signature line to reflect as such. It originally, I guess I just found this out, that Brad Roberts' first band was called Bad Brad Roberts and the St. James Rhythm Pigs. That's no good.
I love these Wikipedia Gantt charts of the personnel of a band, like throughout the years. And this one is pretty great because it's pretty much just Brad Roberts and Ellen Reed. Throughout this as the two bars that go the entire way, and beyond 2005 or so, it's really just them.
Yeah. Well, and also he was in originally with Dan Roberts, who quit, you can presume is maybe related to him.
Right.
And there's a story there.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. The crash test dummies. I didn't get past the first stage of the game because of the guys who puke out tires.
Right.
At you. I just couldn't get past them. Like, I figured I could if I like abused save states and kept practicing, but I didn't want to because it was bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really not good. And this is kind of the epitome of early 90s, mid 90s cash-in and SNES games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that these are just kind of like defined by their hubris a little bit, whereas NES games that are of this ilk are more defined by their laziness. Like this one is, we're going to make this as visually identifiable as this property X, Y, or Z, as we can at the expense of the ability to play.
Why was this not a racing game?
I don't know.
If you have characters whose primary purpose is to drive cars, like why do they run and jump their way through all their games?
Why do they
or through this
run
game
and
the
jump
NES one?
Play and sing? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
Because racing games are kind of hard to make.
And because, like, I guess there would be, like, a little bit of a, what do you want your character to do? Like, when you crash, you get to fall into pieces, but then that's a fail state, or is that a win state? And,
yeah.
You know.
And, like,
what is that, the modern racing game everybody likes now, where, like, it just has the big, like, everyone just plays it to make the huge crashes?
Burnout?
Yeah. Like, that'd be a cool Crash Test Dummies concept.
Yeah.
Like, where you know you're going to crash, you just have to do it in the most bombastic way, and then you get to watch your character explode in a fun bladder
but
burst
like,
in.
For me, that'd be interesting to, like, just get into a crash as a human and then just have a, property damage, that's your score. Like, how much, you know, damage you did to the other cars or whatever. But, like, I want to see the medical bills one.
Yeah, just be the surgery.
Yep.
They have to do on this crash or something.
You know, 6 months recovery. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Gary, I feel
traction.
Like I'm I feel like I'm revealing like just a little bit too much about my deepest, darkest fears.
But car crashes are scary. That's a good thing to be scared of.
Yeah. And like I've always been scared of them.
Everyone should be scared of them.
Yeah. Like, if you're not scared of like if your heart rate doesn't elevate when you power on your car, you're not doing it right. I've always been scared of them because my dad's a highway trooper and he will just describe like, oh, I picked up a finger today. you should probably buckle up.
that sounds like a thing with you and your dad, boy. Like seems like a non-good dinner conversation, I think.
Yep. But like, no, just like you should always be afraid of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I drive, that's part of why I get nervous, is just because of like the amount of power that you have. And I dislike it. Yep. Like, I'm just like, oh, if I fuck up, I can kill someone. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Like if I have a heart attack at the wrong time, I could crush a school bus.
Yeah.
You know, with this thing, like that's the kind of thing I can't.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me nervous. And then like on highways too, like I just don't want to, even it gets more minor than like, oh, I'm not going to merge right. And everyone's going to get mad at me. And yep. I get nervous of that, you know,
it becomes an etiquette question.
Yeah. Like just like, and I should be like, in so many situations where I'm just like, well, fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't when I'm driving. Like I'm so out of my element.
Uh-huh. Because like confidence is what gets you through these situations just fine. Like if you're merging, just fucking merge. Like hesitating is what makes merging bad. I know this, but I still hesitate when I merge because I don't want to fucking just be like extracted from a tangled mess of metal.
Yeah. I never want to see a Jaws of Life.
No.
Like let alone have one used on me or a loved one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I just don't, I do not drive. And the people who just like love doing it, that's interesting to me. Like, and especially people who like to do it kind of like they're into the danger part of it. Like that is like, that is odd to me. Like I remember growing up, me and my friend Zach, were driving around with this girl who like got taken out of high school and put in, IMSA, which is the Illinois Math and Science Academy.
Yeah.
So it's like the super, super smart kid, but she was down back home for summer and was hanging out with us plebes. And we were driving around and like there's this weird air of like we were both horny teens and she was a little bit older. And I think that we both were just like hormoning out. But we were driving and she's like, here, let's play Space Invaders. And she turned off her headlights and turned on her interior dome light.
Yep.
And drove down the highway for a while.
I know that game.
Which is terrifying, but we were so like entranced by hormones and bonerness that we ignored the danger. But like the idea of just like, and in retrospect, like it was in sleepy little DeKalb, Illinois. There's no danger. Like, like we'll see, you know, there's probably nobody else on that highway. But at the time, like now I would have been like, I don't really need to do that. Like this boner that I have now is probably not worth that.
Right. Like, you know, like it's not worth like ending a family.
Yeah, exactly. Mine or anyone else's.
Yeah. My brother, Chris, from those damn Ross kids, to torture me back when, in that short period of time where he could drive, but I couldn't, he would play London, America with me.
Is that wrong side of the road?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the London, America. London, America. And just be begging him to stop.
Yeah.
Yep. Which all of this is to underline, cars aren't toys, which if we had paid attention to these PSAs, we would probably know.
Yeah, somebody needed to show Chris the amazing crash test dummies.
Yep.
Is there something about, is it an age thing or is it a personality trait where you can take pleasure in torturing somebody like in that way? Even if it is something like, you know, you're not doing harm to them, but the second someone like begs me to stop doing something, I've already stopped it. Like I never get to that point with anyone. Like with like playful torture things like tickling or like, you know, freaking them out about something like pulling their leg. If someone begs me to stop, like I've never gotten like that immediately makes me want to stop. Like I can't just do something in spite of someone like literally like upset.
I think it is a combination intimacy and power dynamic thing. Honestly, like, oh, siblings are pretty intimate. Like, you know, just we're around each other and we kind of know like what the boundaries are to push a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the power dynamic thing, you cannot underestimate that. Yeah.
Yeah, I just have no interest in, like, torturing anybody.
Well, yeah.
And calling me weird.
There's also an element of sadism to it. Like, you can't ignore that either.
Yeah. I just don't have that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't, like, if somebody begs me to stop doing something, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. You didn't miss much by going, you know, by not seeing the second stage, which I couldn't figure out what it was. The closest thing, and you'll see this in the notes, it is a lawn factory. Which it seems to be some kind of industrial setting made for manufacturing and testing lawn equipment.
Okay.
Which there are, for some reason, lawnmowers and popcorn poppers. So like the first stage, it's pretty thematically consistent, right? Like it is a parking lot slash test range where there's just cars and everything all over the place. This becomes like a Jurassic Park for Genesis level, really, where you're just kind of going around this nondescript factory that can have any kind of setting whatsoever.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. I guess like I can imagine the crash test dummy is testing lawn equipment.
I guess. Yeah. But there are no like massive whirring blades that will lop off one of your limbs.
Yeah. Cause that's the one thing that they couldn't recover from. Like if their limbs got actually,
cut off.
Like, yeah, cut off or chewed up.
Right.
That would not be, they couldn't get through that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's weird. This is a weird, weird IP that like came and went over the course of a startlingly long amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is a weird artifact. Like looking back on it, I don't know like if such a thing is poised to happen again or would happen again.
It seems like something that is pretty much tied to the existence of either Saturday morning television or afternoon, like after school cartoon blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It is of a time and it is past.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look up those PSAs. They're weird.
I will. Yeah. I haven't seen them in a long time. This is going to be after I get off the Skype, I'm going to go and have a little bit of a crash test renaissance and see how cheaply I can get one of these bad boys on eBay and watch some of those PSAs.
Yeah. Hmm. I think that's all we have to say about the crash test dummies. I've ran out of my notes, so.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say. Who suggested this one? Do we know? Or we know? This was
this was suggested by the indomitable Mike Steele.
Hey, oh yeah, Mike Steele. Yeah. If I wasn't scared of you, I'd tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but
yeah, you'll break me.
I'm afraid that on my way to driving to you, I will get in a fatal accident. So
yes. Yep, on my way to get broken.
Yeah.
You won't break me. I don't mean to over masculinize you based on your name. So go fuck yourself. And I'd never want to play another Crash Test Dummies game again.
Yeah.
Now that I played two of them, which is too many.
Two of them? What?
I told you I played the NES one.
Oh, right.
For the thing. And when you start out on a unicycle,
you
are a Crash Test Dummy who has wheels for some reason.
Like a Portland's weirdo?
Like you just have a wheel between your feet, like Gizmo Duck. It's very strange.
Huh.
What we're doing next is pretty interesting.
It is.
For the thing. Because we don't know exactly what it is, but we can talk about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So February on DuckFeed.tv is kind of like asymmetric month.
Right.
A little bit. So we are inviting some people from the Asymmetric podcast and company. So the people who do Kingdom of Loathing and Video Game Hot Dog and Video Game Taco to come on and guest on Abject Suffering and subject us to the games of their choosing.
Yeah. We've had a couple of them in the past. We had Jenny to talk about Horse Island, this secret island of horses.
Yep.
We had Riff to talk about Samurai Ghost.
Yep. And we'll have them back to talk about other games that they choose.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully some other people from that network as well.
Yeah.
And then also on Watch Out for Fireballs, we're going to have Zach Johnson on to talk about Star Control too.
Yeah.
So we like those guys a lot. Mm-hmm. And so
stay tuned to our social media stuff in order to find out what the next game is. We don't know just yet because we record these in a very weird, premature fashion.
We do them in big batches.
Right.
So, and these won't be suggestions necessarily from you guys,
right,
because I think it'll be more fun for like Jenny or Riff or Zach or something to tell us that, you know, the shittiest game that they want to talk about,
right,
and subject it to us. So we're taking a month off of your suggestions, but we'll be back in March with more Holland Hume Sam Bear favorites. So
and Mike Steele. We have some
Mike Steele favorites.
We have some new contenders. Somebody over the past weekend suggested about 10 or 12 games that hadn't been suggested before.
Excellent.
I know, right?
Good work.
Yeah.
Good work. And if you want to suggest those games for March, you can go to duckfeed.tv/contact. And you can rate and review us on iTunes and go to our Facebook page. Those are all good things.
All that. And we really appreciate you listening.
We do. We absolutely do. So until next time, buckle the fuck up.
Yeah, for real. Like, it's really dangerous. It is the most risky thing you do. And a lot of the time you don't even think about it.
Yeah. Pee before you do. Even if you think you're going to get into an accident, pee.
Yeah. Which you always will think that you're going to get into an accident.
Yeah. So just
it's always a risk.
Down to, having your bladder burst or pissing your pants,
piss your pants, like right away, like just, you know, drive on a plastic lined seat like I do.
Yeah.
I don't actually do that.
With a tiny little like sluice trough.
Yep.
That leads into a drain that just leaves a little Mario Kart trail behind you.
Yeah.
That lets everyone.
Is that air conditioner condensation? No, that's Cole's piss, but it doesn't matter because this is the hard road.
I think Cole went to 7-Eleven this direction. Snicked.
Pulled out. Why is Wolverine after me?
I know. He's just the first person I can think of that can track you by your urine.
That is the weirdest crossover.
I don't know. Like, the duck feed Wolverine and the duck feeds.
I'm not that hard to find.
Well, you'd be easier to find, though, if you left a urine trail everywhere you went instead of just to the bathroom.
Yep. How long do you think I wait?
Until 1 minute too late? Yeah. That's my guess.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Seek bathrooms.
Yeah, seek them in case you have to pee. Umbasa.
Poo-basa.